Good morning, Professor Paul Komisarov from Monash University. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Great.
That's good. Now, Paul, you're at the Centre for Study of Ethics, is it, in Medicine and Society, or what's the correct title?
That's right. I do run an ethics centre in Medicine and Society, but I'm also President of Adult Medicine in the Royal Australasian College of Physicians.
Right, and actually we'll get to those in a moment, Paul, because that's an important part in what we're talking about. We're actually here to talk today about, with Professor Komisarov, about the supposed war on drugs and why it seems to be failing, and we'll leave it to you. Why are the policies failing in the war against drugs, Paul?
Greg, why people take drugs is a complicated issue. There are clearly many reasons for that, both personal and social. The question is what we as a society might be able to do to alleviate the harms associated with drug taking. And traditionally, the approaches that governments have taken have focused on law enforcement and on blanket prohibitions against taking drugs. Mm-hmm. And we know from a massive international experience that such approaches are just not effective or successful. Simply to tell young people not to take drugs isn't enough to deter them from doing so. Mm. So we need to find more creative and effective ways to reduce the harms associated with these sorts of behaviours.
Yes, an intelligent suggestion indeed, Professor. And I guess, for an instance, we would look at abstinence as being a total failure.
Everything should be tried. And no one is saying that we shouldn't give stern warnings to people about taking dangerous drugs, and we shouldn't do everything that we can do to persuade them not to take those drugs. But we must also recognise that there will be a large number of people who won't be persuaded by simple messages of that sort. And they need to be protected too, not just for their own sake, but because of the widespread social harms that occur as a result of drug taking in the community.
That's right. And of course, hardship penalties haven't worked. We've seen that. But I guess your main point there, and a very important one, Paul, is recognition of the fact that drug taking at certain stages of people's lives is more widespread than some would have us believe. Putting their head in the sand to some example, I guess, the authorities.
That's exactly right, and we know that drug taking has been a feature of societies in all cultures over all periods of history, and we know that even within our own society, certain kinds of drug taking, such as smoking marijuana, have been almost normalised. So it's not realistic for us simply to tell people that they shouldn't use these sorts of substances. The experience of prohibition in the United States was a good example of the failure of a policy of this sort. Mm. And clearly we've learned, at least partially learned, the lesson from that, which is that careful regulation, carefully calibrated messages to try and adjust people's behaviour are much more effective than crude blanket prohibitions.
Yes, well said again. I think, Paul, Professor Komisarov, Australia has generally been very good in health issues on other matters, and we've seen this in the past. What is holding us back here, do you think?
That's a good question, Greg. Australia has, at least from time to time, led the world in creative strategies for reducing harms in relation to particular sorts of behaviours. Mm. And we might include within this the introduction of seat belts for cars. Mm. At that time, when in the 1970s and 80s, when this was discussed, people were up in arms about it and would, suggested that if we introduced seat belts, people would only drive more recklessly and it would actually increase the number of accidents on the road. Of course, that never happened, and we've learnt the lesson from that. So there's, a mindset about the importance of not encouraging behaviours that are disfavoured in the community. But the reality is that if you get the message right and you target your communications very, very carefully, you can avoid those harmful or negative consequences.
Very well said again. And I guess it's probably a bit hard to swallow it in some occasions when... alcohol's been legal for years, and of course it's coming from a part of the community that probably doesn't want to see that infringed upon. I don't know, but I think there's a lot of perhaps play behind the scenes here that the average Joe might know about, but you've articulated it very well, Paul, and I thank you for that. So the Australasian chapter of addiction medicine within the Royal Australasian College of Physicians that's their calling for this to happen, for pill testing.
So what we're calling for is the introduction of very careful programs to allow the testing of pills at venues where it's likely that there will be people who will be taking illicit substances and where they're likely to be able to respond to the messages that we're able to get to them. So we're supporting the introduction of testing stations, for example, at music festivals, so that people who come into the possession of pills or other substances which they're considering ingesting, will be able to have them tested to assess whether or not they contain dangerous contaminants or toxic substances. Obviously, one has to be extremely careful to make sure that what's being offered here is not exaggerated or misrepresented. It's not possible to guarantee absolute safety. But simply by offering this sort of service, we do create the opportunity for counselling to be made available, so that the people considering taking the substances will think twice about it. They can come into contact with a counsellor who can discuss the positives and negatives, and we can say, we can't guarantee that these pills are safe, but we can tell you that they don't have the following commonly found toxic substances. It always also provides the opportunity for an early warning. If it so happens, as has been the case on a number of occasions, that there's some rogue substance that's being sold that has very high levels of dangerous contaminants, then we can find out very early and we can warn the entire group that there's a dangerous pill going around and people should be extremely careful. We're not pretending to do what we can't do here. We're not abolishing illicit drug use and we're not supporting it in any way. We're not encouraging people to take tablets. On the contrary, we're finding opportunities to be able to speak with them personally to dissuade them from doing so. But we are keen to stop young people suffering extreme harm and even death as a result of something that's really essentially quite avoidable.
Thank you for that. Yes, in agreement there, I guess... recognition is not encouragement. I mean, that's the clarification that needs to be made here. And the AMA is also coming out in support of this, Paul.
That's right. The AMA has also supported it, as have really most of the major experts in the field. I could say that I'm maybe a little bit embarrassed that the College of Physicians has taken such a long time to support this initiative. But we've been very careful. We've waited until we've been convinced by the evidence, convinced that the technology is available, convinced that it's feasible, convinced that there's enough support for the idea that this will actually do good and reduce harm before coming out publicly in the way that we now have to support the introduction of such a program.
Indeed. And finally, Paul, pill testing as supported within the confines of what you've already explained to us now, today, it will save lives. You feel that?
We feel that it will save lives and reduce harm. The extent to which this will happen is uncertain. These are very, very difficult programs to assess rigorously. And what we've proposed is that carefully organised and structured programs are introduced and that data are collected in order to assess their effectiveness. So we say that if these programs are introduced, it should be in the context of a carefully controlled trial so that we can actually assess whether they're doing what we hope they will do.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well said. Professor Paul Komisaroff from Monash University Centre for Study and Ethics in Medicine and Society. Thank you very much once again, Paul.
You're most welcome, Greg. It's been a pleasure talking with you.